The Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Brandon Warren here for the Cold Omaha Podcast Network, where I host Midwest Swing. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Swing Pod. We are available on iTunes. We are available on Stitcher. And what are we going to do? We're going to talk about baseball and all other sports with a little bit of a Midwest twist to it. At times we'll be serious. At times we'll have fun. But ultimately, we just want to be a great podcast that Midwest people and people all over the country can listen to. That's Midwest Swing on the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
Welcome to Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. I am Danny Ryan, joined in studio today by Carl East. Carl.
Hey, Danny.
And Tony Scott from the Youth Hockey Hub.
I'm here.
And special guest today, Tim Howe from the GRHS Hockey Online, right? Did I say that okay?
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We're going to have a kind of a grunge match between the Carl East and the Bob Lee factions, I guess, today, which should be exciting. Previewing the Section 7 AA matchup between Grand Rapids and Duluth East up there in Amsoil on Wednesday.
Thursday?
Tim, if it makes you feel any better, Carl's been here for 2 hours going through every statistical game of the last 20 years between GR and Duluth East. So he's ready. Yeah. He's loaded for bear.
Do you want to talk about 2013, 2011, 2003?
I just want to talk about 2016.
Ooh, I like it.
Let's first start off the show by I think we owe some teams some apologies, mainly due to the fact that Saturday, to use a phrase that Tim uses a lot on his Twitter, holy cats, it went nuts. I think this was a crazy section Saturday. I'll start my apologies off mainly from last show. I'm sorry I threw Bram Shearer under the bus.
Yeah, you're an awful person.
Seriously.
Apparently so. Bram, you are not a dirty player. I'm sorry for saying that. You got a five-minute major. You didn't even get a penalty, so that's my fault.
And okay. He did have a game winner, right? Did we?
Yes.
We did that, right?
Yes. It was kind of bad. Okay, what about you guys?
I could just rattle off a list of teams that we completely wrote off, starting with Crete and Durham Hall being the obvious one. But Prior Lake, I don't think we're giving much of a chance against Minnetonka.
No.
They're in a section final. I picked against Duluth East. They're in a section final easily.
Well,
I picked against South River. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Tim, did you have anybody that you called out on Twitter too?
Well, I mean, if we can rewind to Hermantown-Eveleth game, I wasn't really happy with Hermantown's first period, and they've shut me up since then, scoring like 21 goals in a row.
Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah, could we call them on the ropes at 2-1, out shooting their opponent? It was like 21 to like.
Yeah, it wasn't even
crazy.
Close.
I'm like, I think they're going to turn the tide eventually here. My apologies are obviously to all the teams that I picked against. And I have a future apology to all the teams that I'm picking for this week. That includes the youth level. There's all the regional tournaments coming up at the youth level. I'm going to get a whole bunch of wrong there, too. And finally, I have an apology for a tweet that I made that not only made the people at YZ unhappy, but it made the people in Edina unhappy and some people at Crete unhappy. I tweeted a picture of Hank Sorensen Saturday night that said, it's 5:15. YZ High School is now on the brink of having their easiest route in the history of its high school to making it to state. And I put a picture of Hank and it said, Hank, can you guys do it? Are you guys ready to do it? Or something along those lines. And it troubled the people from Crete. It troubled people from Edina that I would slight them. I have two people on Twitter that said, you know, how can you slight us? You know, no respect for Edina. I'm like, well, they were not ranked.
Yeah.
You know, Creighton was not ranked.
And you don't have Hank the Hammer Sorensen on your team.
Yeah, I know. And in fairness, I mean, in the history of Whitesetta hockey, they never could have a chance. They never had three unseeded, unranked teams to beat to go to state.
Yeah.
They aren't this year, and they won't in the near foreseeable future in 6AA. Yeah. So I just stated a fact and didn't mean to stir the pot, but my apologies to all of those three schools that I offended.
Well, I think it's a fair statement. And we'll get more into 6AA in a little bit. So let's first start off with Class A talk. Now, not as many upsets really in the Class A
just
field
one.
This year. Just one really main one that we've seen so far. We still have Section 2 and Section 4 yet to play their semis, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start off with Section 1. This one happened as we all predicted. Northfield won pretty easily over Mankato East, 6-0. Mankato West beat Le Sueur.
But Le Sueur won their first round game.
And they had
Mankato a little bit on the ropes there into the second period.
Let's give some props to Le Sueur.
Yeah, absolutely. The longest name.
And the 10 other schools in that.
Yeah.
Le Sueur or Henderson.
Oh, after Henderson, if you get one right.
St. Peter, looking at.
Yeah, okay, you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't spend the whole show trying to read their name off, so let's move on.
I had a woman tweeting for me down in Rochester, and she literally put every initial in the first few tweets. I text her, I'm like, just keep it to Le Sueur, you know, Le Sueur Henderson. She's like, oh, okay, thanks. LSH is fine.
Preview a little bit of this section final game. I think this is going to be Northfield. I think this would be a pretty big upset if Mankato West won. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, they played twice this season. Northfield won them both pretty comfortably.
Easily,
so.
So let's move on to Section 2A. Give me one second as I toggle through the iPad today. Section 2A plays its semifinals.
Delano-Orono, right?
Delano plays Orono at 8 o'clock, and the 6 o'clock game at Parade is Blake Breck. I think both of these games have a lot of intrigue.
Yeah.
The Blake Breck game is always a good rivalry, but I don't see Breck losing that game considering how they trashed them.
They'll win by a field goal.
Yeah.
Orono plays Delano, which I think should be an interesting game.
Yeah, Orono beat Delano just like 2 weeks ago, right?
3-2. Yeah.
First-year head coach Mark Parrish. Perry might have some tricks up his sleeve.
I was talking to his brother Gene the other day, and he says, yeah, Mark is just obsessed with this high school coaching. I love hearing that. Yep. Isn't that great?
But you can see Perry doing that,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
When you run undefeated in high school, it's hard not to get back into it.
Yeah, and he's got some resources at Orono, no doubt, to make a deep run. And their youth program won its first Bantam A state championship last year. They're good again this year. He's going to have some nice talent coming up, especially for Class A hockey in Minnesota.
As long as they don't fire him for having a bad period like they did with the last 10 coaches.
Right.
So I think I see Brett coming out of the first one, playing on Thursday night at 7 at Parade. Do you guys think they're going to play? I think it's going to be Delano. I think the Tigers are going to carry this one. But what do you guys think?
I think Orono.
Okay. Should be Delano, but never know.
I think it's Orono. Yeah. I don't know why. Orono had, until they beat Delano, they were literally on a major slide. And I think maybe that win over Delano will get them over the hump. And then you never know in the section final.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially down at Parade. I mean, I tweeted this one this week. It was about, what's it with Parade Ice Garden? All of the boys and girls, they always go to overtime. Crazy how many overtime games have been at in the last 5 years in the sections down at Parade Ice Garden, at Section 2A, boys and girls.
Well, I was talking to Joe Schmidt of KSTP. He was walking his dog this morning, and he's like, I'm actually looking forward to that game. because this game might see an upset of Breck.
Yeah.
You could probably say it's the best Class A section final looming.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Next to maybe 4, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Okay, let's jump on to 3. This one fell into line. Except Hutch gave Litchfield a bit of a
More of a test than it had gotten earlier.
Yeah, so that was a 5-4 win for Litchfield. Dasso Cocato, if you want me to complete the co-op.
That's right.
And then Laverne won 10-0.
Wow, did they pay them back?
Roll cards roll.
Wow.
Over New Ulm. So this game's on Wednesday at Gustavus. The way Laverne rolled in that game, they probably should do that again, but Laverne's had some trouble in section finals, a.k.a. last year.
Ain't no stopping this team.
Yeah.
So, really all that needs to be said about Section 3A with them.
Although it'd be kind of nice to watch Litchfield in the state tournament. You got to admit, that would be cool.
Dragons made it in 08.
It's like periodical. It's like a blue moon. I mean, it would be cool.
Oh, jeez. Okay, let's move quickly to 4. Matamidi will play Totino, who beat St. Paul Johnson on Wednesday at Roseville Arena. That's weird. That this section is now playing at Roseville, not Aldrich, if you guys are wondering.
Yep. Yeah.
And so they'll play Totino. I see Matamidi easily winning this game, but I said a lot of easily winning last week. So I foresee this
cough,
as a win.
Cough, Benilde.
Yeah. I don't – thank you, Carl. Cough, cough. They play the winner of St. Paul Academy, South St. Paul, which I said South St. Paul was going to win that game.
Over Minnehaha?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good call. Good call.
Yeah. And so I think SPA has the firepower to beat South St. Paul in this one. But, again, this
and you guys
is
have been both picking SPA all on, right?
Yeah, I think
or
we
did you
have.
Go back?
Yeah.
You went back. You're back to Matamidi, right?
No, I think Danny went back.
I think I went back.
One of you guys went back to Matamidi.
I'm sticking with
you're sticking
SPA.
With the Spartans.
Okay. Did it at the start of the year. I'll ride at the end.
Yeah. I'll ride Matamidi right now.
And the only reason I'm riding Matamidi is I've had him ranked higher all year, even preseason, so I can't detract from it. But I trust me, I'd be very excited if SPA made it. For obvious reasons, because we've broadcasted their games this year, but I think it would be great to see a new sweater in the state tournament. I love the different sweaters.
Yeah, I think that's always cool. But I think Will Swanson's the better goaltender of the two teams.
You're talking about Andy Barron, who was solid. Pioneer Press Goalie of the Year last year.
Well, I'm just saying. I like Swanson.
Swanee's a bigger goalie than Andy is, but I think they're both outstanding goalies. It'll be a under-three goal. It'll be a 3-2 4-3, 2-1 type.
It'll be a good final.
SPA just needs to weather Matamidi's depth. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to 5A. Princeton versus
Mammal.
Mammal.
Mammal beats Chisago, who I thought could even beat Princeton, but that was kind of a surprising win.
This was, I would say, that's an upset of 4-1, 2-3 upset, but a pretty confident 4-1 game. Yep. I want to say. And Princeton won 9-4 over Pine City.
9-4. Yeah, 9-4, right?
9-4. Yeah.
Wow.
So I think the Mighty Tigers are going to come out of this one, beat the Moose.
Yeah, it would be three times. It's the old dreaded three wins deal. Can you beat a team three times? I think they will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. The nice part about Class A, as we talked about last week, is there's not as many upsets normally in Class A, but. I see that one is still happening.
And it'd be interesting to see. The reason I'm kind of leaning towards Mammal, because, again, speaking of sweaters, they've never made it to the state tournament.
No, that's very true.
I love the old first-time appearance.
Yes, the old first-time.
Not that Princeton is a tournament regular.
No, they have, two appearances. Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to 6A. This one actually had the upset that Tony was referring to. The St. Cloud Apollo Eagles lost 4-1 to Little Falls, which is a pretty good win for Little Falls.
So they beat Little Falls in January 26th, scored with a minute some and change to go to tie it, and then beat him in overtime. Tight. And the goaltender for Justin Pakula, I think is something like that his name, he made 40 saves in that game. Well, guess what?
He made
Saturday night 41 out of 42.
Yeah.
On Saturday night at the MAC, and they beat the number one team in their section. It's a pretty impressive win. You got his name there?
Yeah, it's Justin Pakula.
All right, what did you get? I feel a lot of names going through my head the last 2 days, so I apologize if I didn't know exactly what it was.
That's a good one. We kind of saw this as a possibility.
If you're playing a team into overtime 2 weeks ago, it's a flip of a coin game. So it wasn't wow, but it's just the fact that they were number three in the state.
Mm-hmm. You know what was actually kind of surprising is Cathedral beat Sartell 7-2.
And blasted them.
Blasted them. So Cathedral's definitely riding a good high
They almost
right now.
Beat Holy Family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
coming in strong.
Yeah. Coming in strong. I think this is a team that if they make it to state, you actually got to watch out for. It's five seed.
Yeah, I'd say they're the five seed.
And having a decent shot at beating Thief River, or assuming it's Thief River out of eight.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to section seven. Carl, you were at these ones.
I was.
Now, we're not going to talk much about Greenway Hermantown.
I slept through most of it.
It was a 9-0 win. And then Hibbing beat Benfeld 5-1. Which is another.
But it was close for a while, wasn't it?
Denfeld was hanging in there. They weren't generating any chances, really. But Allender made some big saves, and Hibbing was just sort of playing around for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, so, it was never really in doubt, but, it was a fairly close score. And just credit to all the support from the range that came down to Duluth for this game, though. It was as full as the AA games.
That's cool.
Night games.
That's
a lot, really cool. Of Greenway sweaters out in there. Hibbing at a big student section, loudest one of the day. So,
oh, wow.
That was fun to see.
That's good to see.
Yeah, yeah, that is fun. Now, the final is on Wednesday at Amsoil. Now, I see this going all Hermantown still.
What do you think? I mean,
you saw them recently.
7-0 game at Hermantown means absolutely nothing.
No.
I almost have to erase that from your brain.
I think it'll be closer, but it'll be like 5-2.
You know, Hibbing's a very strong Class A team. Hermantown's in a different league.
Yeah, could you imagine if Hibbing were in the section where Princeton and Mammal?
Yeah, they'd blow everyone out. But
Mammal.
That's all I can think of when I see Monticello.
I had a guy who writes for me. He cannot pronounce Mammal. He just looks at it and it says Mom. He's like, Mom. I'm like, it's Mammal. Yeah, Mom. I'm like, no.
Mammal.
I get it.
Okay, so that game could be closer, but I think we all can be in pretty much agreeance that Hermantown's going to come out of that section.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. And then eight
is playing Thief River Falls versus East Grand Forks.
I think in July we could have predicted this.
Yeah.
Pretty easily. It was actually kind of surprising. War Road played a tight game with EGF, but normally those are tight games, and you don't want to play War Road in the playoffs anyways because this is a team that knows how to win. Carl almost lost his headphones.
Yep. Water is dangerous. Yeah.
So I think...
I think I'm sticking to my original pick. I'm going Prowlers. It doesn't seem like EGF has really found its groove all year. They've just kind of been missing,
They didn't have their head coach. Pelicino stepped down.
That's true. I mean, it's not like they filled him in with Carl,
No, but
this is Scott Kobyrinsky. I mean, this is like a hockey legend.
Is Scotty Oliver one of their assistant coaches this year?
I don't know if he's stick
Let
around.
Me check.
I'm not sure if he's
Tim,
stick
do you know that off the top of your head?
We talk about coaching legend.
Yeah, sorry. We're keeping you on hold while we're talking about Class A stuff. But yeah, Scotty Oliver's still one of their assistant coaches.
Hockey legend right there.
Rozo coach back in the early 2000s. Coached the 2008 Rozo team. But yeah, if you ever watch Scott Oliver on the bench, he doesn't have anything on but a leather jacket.
Yeah, he looks like a professional wrestler.
You would not want to meet him in a back alley anywhere.
An ex-professional wrestler.
He's just a mean person. And his son was a good player, too, Nicky Oliver.
Oh, yeah.
He played for St. Cloud.
Yep.
So, okay, let's break Class A talk. I have Greenway, actually, in that game. I'm going to roll that wave. All the way
down. You're going Greenway. I said Greenway. I'm like, dude, they just
love it. Greenway.
I got you.
I probably said Greenway.
I'm going Prowlers.
Prowlers.
I've been going with them since about once I saw him shellack Rozo that night. I'm like, this team is as good as I saw from East Grand last year.
Okay. Now let's take a break. Class A is over. We predicted it. We've gotten everything right, so let's move on.
We have?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I'm like, wow. We actually were pretty good, though. I mean, as far as our picks are concerned, I went off the board, picked Hutch, but other than that, and then obviously getting Apollo right, but I think for the most part, we held serve on those sections.
Yeah, I think we predicted that Apollo's section would be some upheaval, and it proved to be true.
Yep.
Okay, now... Talking about upheaval, we saw probably the craziest section Saturday in recent memory.
Semifinals. I mean, there's been some final days that are crazy.
But for
semis, I don't remember something like
Tim,
that.
Tim, can you remember a semifinal Saturday just as nuts as this one was?
I mean, they all seem to be a little bit crazy, but this one just had everything. Mm-hmm. It was wild.
And it was both classes, too. That was the funny part. It held everything. So... I think this is going to be a kind of a fun exercise. Let's kind of go through some teams that got upset, the best teams to never make it to state. Because this year we had an undefeated team in Benilde St. Margaret now not make it to state. So there's a lot of teams over the years that have not made it to state.
With some good names, too. I mean, think about the names that are on that Benilde team that you'll look back 5 years from now and go, oh, yeah, Augie Moore, Keith Gleeco,
Connor Mayer.
I mean, there's some really good Bischel. I mean, there's some big names there.
Well, and so I'll start it off. 2007.
Why don't we start with me first? Because we'll go chronological.
Yeah.
We'll start,
okay.
Because
yeah,
I'm old
first.
School. I'll start old.
Fine.
Not because I'm more important. It's like, hey, we'll start here.
You're
or
older.
Else you go back. I am way older. All right, I'm going to go really fast. Go speed round. I'm going to go 1981 Southwest Indians. One of the top teams in the state that year. Five Division I guys just returning from the state tournament. Leading Bloomington Jefferson, and a referee have mysteriously got hit in the head with a puck. Best timeout in Sats' history as coach. They go on and beat the Indians and go on to state. That was one. 1986 Edina Hornets had 6 or 7, maybe 10 Division I players lose to Damian Rhodes in the section semifinals at the Met Center
in Richfield. State.
Richfield beat Edina. It was an amazing game. I'll never forget it. And then, do I get to steal this 1996 Hill Murray team that had Dave Tanabe?
We can take
21-1
yeah.
1-1.
21-1.
They lose to Sean Rhode, a little tiny freshman. You know, beats Hill Murray under 500. They were a 4 seed in the semifinal. That's amazing.
This White Bear team that won this game was 8-14-1 going into this game.
And that
Hill team in 96, they'd beaten Dave Spehar senior year at Duluth East twice.
They beat Jefferson 9-2.
They were 7-2.
Awesome
team. It was just
crazy.
Crazy how nobody talks about that team.
I got one more old one. This is a Grand Rapids theme, Tim. 1989 I Falls beats Grand Rapids 7-1, makes the state. 4 unanswered goals in the first period on a major penalty by assistant coach Chris Marinucci. Now assistant coach Chris Marinucci for Grand Rapids. So I'll put that one down as a real good team that Rapids had.
Okay, Carl, you want to go for some?
Sure. Well, let's see. I'm going to start with 2000. We had Elk River, Addy, and Prairie, the number one and number two teams of the state. Elk River had Paul Martin in his senior year. You know, dominant teams. They were the clear favorites to make the state championship game. Both lost in sections. I think Elk River lost to Osseo or someone.
That's
never
trash.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
And next year, 2001, Bloomington Jefferson.
Yeah.
Got a book written about them, Blaze of Glory. Lost
Eastview in the semis, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He asked me to think of an East team, and that's actually kind of difficult to do in sections, at least a really good East team. They've had
some mediocre teams lose,
but best one you can really do in the Randolph era is 2002, where they lost to Cloquet in the section final, shut out by Josh Johnson. That's their only loss in a section final under Randolph.
16-1, you told me?
16-1.
That's an unbelievable stat. Mm-hmm. Just scary stat for Tim. Very scary.
I'll say one, two. 2007 Holy Angels, this team was led by Chase Polishek, who was then a Hobie Baker finalist. Randy Keir, I think, was a defenseman on that team, played for Merrimack or one of those teams out east. This was an undefeated team going into it, and then they lost to Burnsville, led by Tyler Barnes and Helixson, I want to say, was the other good player on that team.
That was one of the biggest upsets as I can ever remember.
Because that team was very, very, very good. They were number one the whole year, I want to say.
Yes.
And so, now, Tim, did you have any that you want to say?
Yeah, there was a couple good Grand Rapids teams in the mid-90s, but I think the best Rapids team to not make it to state would have been 2011. Mm-hmm. That was – I still think – I don't know how the rankings shook out, but – Rapids East, it was 2-1 overtime game in the section final. East went to the state championship. Rapids was probably a top five. I think they were top three, but kind of a cool stat that year.
Rapids
cool
was
now. It surely wasn't cool then, but every loss Rapids had, they lost 4 games that year, 2 to East, 1 to Hermantown, 1 to Eden Prairie, and all 3 of those teams played in the state championship game.
Yeah, that's a cool stat.
And Rapids was clinging to a 1-goal lead for most of that game. They had a few chances to score the second
goal.
One. And
yeah,
minute 30 left, Mears Moore ties it, and Trevor Olson won it 20 seconds in overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't it a power play goal in overtime?
No.
Was never mind. No. I'm trying to remember that game. But I was at the Eden Prairie loss, I remember, at the Edina Classic for that year, because DiGiuseppe was one of the better goaltenders in the state that year, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, and that was the ugly game. I think that was like 9-5. But then the loss to Hermantown was 5-4, and both the Duluth East losses were 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was 9-5, but you have to remember who that Eden Prairie team was. That was Kyle Rau's team. That was, a team that was...
They were the state champs.
Yeah, and Andrew Ford was in net, who was a Frank Brismick candidate, too. So that was a very, very good team. So, yeah. I think it goes with saying those are some very good teams that did not make it to state at all, you know, that we missed seeing out, and we will miss seeing out on some teams this year, and so we'll get into that. Let's first start off with our Class 2A discussion. Let's start off in the South with Section 1AA.
It's probably the most uneventful.
Yeah. Lakeville North wins 6-1 over Rochester John Marshall.
As expected.
And Farmington finally gets the monkey off their back with Lakeville South and beats them 5-3, which I think there might have been an empty netter in that one.
I'm not sure, but Stephen Eller had a hat trick.
For Farmington. Okay.
I was doing my Saturday Stars for my article today, and I had all these hat tricks. So amazing. Yeah. How many kids had hat tricks yesterday?
Janicki had a hat trick, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jonich from Creighton
had a hat trick. Yeah, so, again, let's prep this. Let's go into a little bit more detail on the section final. Now, Farmington's beat them twice, right?
Yep.
We can all see that, but do we see Farmington winning this game?
Nope.
Probably not, no.
I would love it if they did. It would be great. It would be even better TV. Another first-timer, right? First-time sweater, right?
Yeah. I mean...
Love the first-time sweater.
I just don't see it happening. Tim, did you watch the Lakeville North Rapids game early in the season?
I did, yeah. It was a good game, actually. I think that one went into overtime.
Mm-hmm. Did it go on? Tony and I were both there.
Yeah, Blake Brandt scored an OT.
That's what it was. Yeah, that was in. Yeah, that was a good game.
Sophomore.
I think this Lakeville North team is peaking at the right time right now.
I'd argue with that.
They are the front runners in my book to win.
Yep. And or Stillwater.
Stillwater.
Stillwater still got two more games, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after what I saw this weekend, nobody's safe. Nobody's safe.
Okay, let's...
Even East, they're not safe.
Really? What?
Okay, let's talk about Section 2A. This one was the most exciting section game that I've seen in a long time. Let's start with the Holy Family Eden Prairie game. Tony, you and I were at this one. This was just the best game I've seen all year.
I'm not sure I've seen as more dramatic of a hockey game as I saw there. And, you know, I was 5 feet from Noel Ron when he was... It was incredible, you know. And I felt bad taking pictures of him yelling at the ref, but it was right there, you know.
Yeah.
And this was before... He wasn't really yelling during the... They had kind of already blown their stack, for lack of a term, on some penalty calls. So once they called the no-goal call, they were kind of out of steam.
Yeah.
And the coaching staff, they'd yelled so much, it was just kind of like, why bother?
Okay, let's circle back so I can give a summary on what happened in this game, and then we'll go into some details so some people can understand what we're talking about.
7:10, that's where you got to go to. That's where Michelle was when he scored.
So, now, Eden Prairie wins this game 4-2 with an empty net goal by Hunter Johansson. Casey Middlestad got two of the goals for Eden Prairie. The other goal was scored by Michael Graham, which was set up by a beautiful Casey Middlestad feed. The Holy Family goals were scored by Will Guerin and Matt Anderson, so their stars shine very bright in this game. It was 1-1 after one period, and then Casey late in the third, wasn't it? Yeah, it was
late in
second.
The second.
Second.
They're up 2-1 going into the third.
Yeah.
And looked like they were seemingly in control.
They looked to be in control. And here's one point.
25-10 in shots after two.
Mm. Yeah. And the one play I want to talk about in this game that I talked about with everybody afterwards, Tony, is the Casey Middlestad play.
That was in the first period, though.
Yeah.
But it set the tone for the whole game, I thought.
This play set the tone because what happened was Will Guerin goes on a breakaway. Will Guerin is a Mr. Hockey finalist, the fastest player on the ice, or at least known to be.
Until that happened.
Until Casey Middlestad, from three strides back, caught him even before he hit the slot. And he caught him, no penalty, took the puck, and then went back the other way and almost scored.
And almost scored. So funny. So after the game, I interviewed Lee, and I'm like, Lee, I got one question for you. Most everyone wants to know about the call, and they want to know about all their stuff. Like, just tell me what your impression was when Casey hunted down Guerin. He said, unbelievable. That kid is a warrior. That's all he said. It was an unbelievable. It was a great play. So, yeah, I listed that in my article today as one of the highlights of that game.
And one of the things I love about Middlestad is how well he back checks. Because you see every single play, he's hustling back, getting there, making some big plays.
Yeah. And for how much he plays, it's amazing.
this was it was the play that stood out to me that, you know, is why Casey Mittelstadt is the best player in the state.
Ding, 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 ding.
And so that's...
Don't give anything away about my announcement.
No.
Or
okay.
Jinx him.
Now, let's go to the third period. Holy Family gets on the board relatively quickly, 5:54 into the third period.
And the whole momentum changes at that
point. Switches over to Holy Family. Now it's a tie game. And Holy Family then scores with...
7:10 to go.
7:10.
But I think between those times, that was 9 minutes in, right?
Yeah.
Between those times, the game had completely changed. I mean...
Everything had moved over to Holy Family. Jared Moe was standing on his head pretty well.
Yeah.
And DeRocher was a little shaky.
I think that's accurate. So they're pressuring.
Yeah.
Puck's in the zone, and I watched this replay about 30 times, and I was right there when Casey got the puck on the hash mark. He's been out there probably the whole game. He tries this little weak backhand.
Yeah.
And it goes out to the point he couldn't clear the zone, and they kept it in. Held the zone, a puck pops up in the middle of the slot. I don't know who it was. I don't have it in front of me.
I forget.
Jumped up and grabbed it, and literally like a football quarterback pitches it out, like fakes to the right and pitches it to the left. And I believe it was Michelle who shot it and then got his own rebound, went and fetched it, got his own rebound and scored.
Now, here's the problem with that. You can't pass the puck with your hand to another player in the offensive zone, which is, and they didn't blow the play dead immediately.
That's the error right here. Yeah. This is the error right here.
And so they didn't blow it dead. The goal went in, and the goal judge blew the horn, too, I want to say. Didn't he?
Turn the light on?
Yeah.
I don't know if he turned the light on or not.
We all thought...
Actually, when we go review the video, you could probably
see
if the light
from
came
right
on.
Behind the net. Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. So what they failed to make that call. It took, I clocked it, it was 9 minutes that it took them to discuss this. Just talk about the Jefferson Southwest game in 81. I mean, this is the same deal where it was just like you're taking the game, you're stopping the game for 9 minutes. That's just way too much time.
And it killed all the momentum.
Oh, my gosh. And then 17 seconds later, Michael Graham, after they resume play, carries the puck up the zone, in the neutral zone, and I believe it was Mac Byers slapped the stick of Graham, and his stick goes flying, which is like in the first period, second period, regular season, you're going to call that. But there's 6 minutes left in the game.
They did call it against Casey. Remember, Casey had somebody slash him same point of the ice, too, in the first period, and there was a slashing call.
And they called it, too,
and
right?
They called it.
Yeah.
And Casey dropped his stick.
In the first period, Casey. But with 6 minutes left, tie game, and you've already nabbed a goal from Holy Family, at this point, I'm kind of cheering for Holy Family. I'm like... Hey, they're getting kind of the raw end of this bargain on this deal. And sure enough, what do? They set up the power play, and they score, and game's over. And Holy Family's left standing there going, we were just leading this game 3-2 7 minutes of play ago.
Now, here's my take on the officiating in this game. I didn't think it was that bad leading
until
up.
That.
Until that.
Yeah.
Mainly, here's why. Is I'm a private school kid.
You are?
So I know what it's like to be hosed, quote unquote, by the officials when, you know, private school people say that they got hosed around. I've been there, okay? And so don't act like this. I've seen a lot worse. Okay.
Ask Bruce Plant how that goes.
Yeah, because
really. Wow, we're flaming everybody tonight, aren't we?
But in David Zebnek got checked once in the state tournament against Hermantown, and they counted it as a goal even after reviewing the play. So I've seen, all the ways of officiating.
Yeah, I thought the officiating was a little slanted against Holy Family. I will say that, but then. And now after reviewing the film, I think it was the correct call. I have no idea how they reenacted that play because it happened so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And, they were just kind of standing there. But a lot of people allege that the goal judge is the one who dictated the terms of this thing when they brought him over.
And that's true. So,
I don't know. We could go on and on about it. But.
Yeah.
It's still only a 3-2 lead with 7 minutes to go. I mean, it's the game. It did not change the game, but the moment it was a huge momentum swing in the game.
Okay, let's move on past.
Yep,
this
I agree.
One. It was the best game that I've seen, and so we're going to talk about Prior Lake, Minnetonka, which I regrettably saw because I wish I went to Benilde.
Correct.
But this was
a
very
good
game
in its own right, though.
But I think from the get go, Prior Lake got on top. And Minnetonka had no answer. And this goes to the fact that Minnetonka did not have a finisher all year. They just could not find a way. They're a gritty team. They're a grinding team, and they lose 3-2. And it was they got one back in the third, but it was Prior Lake was up the whole game.
I have a mid-show apology to my friend Joe Pankrantz, who I think I said they don't have the speed to hang with Minnetonka.
Oh, they had the speed.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. So hats off to Prior Lake
and good goaltending at that too. Yep. Hats off to Prior Lake. They're going to give Eden Prairie as big of a test as anybody else could.
Yep.
So yeah. I think they're playing good hockey right now, and this is going to be a lot of fun. Their section final is at Mariucci on Wednesday. They
is it the 6 o'clock or the 8 o'clock? Yeah.
That's the 6 o'clock. It's the morning one. 8 2 o'clock. Is always.
I thought they flipped them.
Let me check. Sorry. Trying to toggle through an iPad right now.
All right.
They are the 8 o'clock. You're right, Carl. Yeah. They're the 8 o'clock game at Mariucci. They flip flop them every year. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
That's a theme to this show. You're right, Carl. You're right, Carl. You're
well,
right, Carl. Just hit the you're right, Carl button.
I am sorry. I'm being humble. Okay. let's talk about the section final. Prior Lake, Eden Prairie, who do you guys see coming out of this one?
Wow.
So we'll do a pick 'em on the three big ones. This is one of them.
Hard to pick against Casey Middlestad. To pick against Eden Prairie.
I agree. And
they've been on the stage before. Been in the section final. This is Paris Lake's first section final ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Tim, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, Eden Prairie. I think the stage will be a little bit too big for Prior Lake, and EP has some more weapons. Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to be the difference maker in Olympic-sized ice with Casey Middlestad.
I wonder if that has anything to deal with. I don't think that matters.
Yeah. Prior Lake could move. That should hurt
them. Yeah.
It shouldn't make that big of a difference, but I wouldn't put Casey Middlestad or Michael Graham on Olympic-sized ice sort of thing.
Right. Casey right. especially.
Yeah, Casey especially. Okay, let's briefly talk about Section 3AA. I think everything fell into line here that what we thought. St. Thomas Academy wins 6-3 over Bloomington Jefferson, which they were tested early in the third, actually.
Yeah, it was 4-3 for about 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They scored with like 2-3 minutes in, back to back. So it was 4-3, and then I think St. Thomas scored like 12 minutes.
Yeah, Jerry might have scored again.
Yeah, so. Speaking of hat tricks, it's another hat trick yesterday.
Billy Jerry.
So many of them yesterday.
Billy Jerry needs to do well for this St. Thomas team to win in advance. And he's the linchpin for this team. And when he scores, this team is exponentially has a better chance to win. And so that's what it really comes down to, SCA success. They will play Burnsville on Thursday at Ritter. Burnsville beat Rosemont 4-1. I think this section final game has a lot of intrigue, too. Burnsville has their easiest chance to make it to state.
It would be great. Yeah.
The 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to think when that happened, when Burnsville and Jefferson came out of 2 over here, they were both going,
yes.
Thank God we don't have to play Dinah, you know?
Yeah.
Or Prior Lake or whatever. So,
yeah, I think Burnsville could win this game if they get on the board.
Yeah, my photographer who was there knows a lot. He was shooting pictures of those two games, and he said that he thought St. Thomas was the better of the two teams.
I think they are, too. But Kate Borchard and Eric Otto, if they go off, St. Thomas playing down, and they're less physical, it makes me nervous as a cadet.
Yep.
But that's just me. Okay, let's go on to Section 4. Shake my head at Section 4 for not posting or playing their semifinals yet, but they'll play their semifinals on Tuesday, their final on Friday at Aldrich. The semifinals are Stillwater, which somehow let in 4 goals against Irondale.
3 of them were in the third period.
Okay, thank you, Carl.
You're right, Carl.
You're right. You're always right. And then they'll play White Bear Lake, which actually has some intrigue because
beat Roseville. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. And White Bear Lake tied them this year, right? At 1-1.
It was nothing. Yeah. It's a real thriller.
Oh, the thriller in Manila.
Soccer score.
Yep.
And they will play the winner of Hill Murray Woodbury, and Woodbury got the upset over Tartan, which is a
slight upset.
Slight upset. It really comes down to it. So Hill has an easier walk into the final now, I would say. And so I think we're still seeing a Hill Stillwater. And Stillwater should win this, and it's, you know.
Cough.
Unless the pressure gets to him,
Unless
I just don't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless that something really drastic happens.
Now probably the top seed at state if they make it.
Yeah. Which, yep. Stillwater, the number one team in the state.
Yep.
Imagine that. Did you go to that Stillwater?
Which one?
The Stillwater-Lakeville North game, or is that the one that the schedule got changed?
The rueful memories on that one. I wish I would have went to that one, but the schedule got changed, so I went to Breck, Holy Family instead.
Yep. Well, that's fine. You saw
two good teams. So that's fine. Okay. Now let's move on to a section that all hell broke loose in.
What happened?
Section 5. Okay, Section 5. We have Maple Grove beating Blaine, the number one team in the section, 6-3, but it was really 4-3 with two empty nets at the end.
Yep.
And then, Tony, you were listening to this game on the radio.
Yep.
Janicki, the freshman, stand out for
Trevor tied it 2-2
Yeah.
Late in the second, and then he got the go-ahead goal at 3-2.
Yeah.
And they also fought out. The big play is the 5-minute major on a kid named Miller from Maple Grove. And Tufty noted him, and I think they were out there probably for all 5 minutes, and they could not get past Goodman. That's the story of this game. I mean, it's fun as a writer. It's easy to write about Janicki and freshmen and Notre Dame and all that stuff. But the real story here is Goodman made the stops when they needed to stop, and Trevor just was Trevor. You know, he's always been that way ever since he was a squirt. He's been just a dominant speedster.
He's a jitterbug.
Great athlete. Yeah. And, you know, hats off to him for an awesome game.
I think that's the thing that stands out in this game is Riley Tufty did not score a goal.
Mm-hmm. No.
And when Riley Tufty does not score a goal,
Blaine loses.
Blaine loses. And so that makes perfect sense. Now, they would have had probably a good test against Anoka, who came out 6-2 over Centennial, which
was another interesting game. I listened to that game, too. I wish I was at the Cretan game, mind you, but which was all of 6 minutes from my house, but that's another story for another day. But so I'm listening to that game, you know, looking at photos and doing all the other stuff that we do. And so it's Anoka gets a Centennial gets a 5-minute major on a kid named McLean, and they score 3 goals on a 5-minute major to start the second period. So it went from 2-0. They scored 2 late goals. Can you imagine your Centennial? They score 2 late goals
just
in the first,
momentum.
And then boom, a 5-minute major to go up 5, and they go up 5-0. But they had their chances down 5-1. They had a 5-on-3 and couldn't get a goal. Their goaltender, I don't have their goaltender's name off the top of my head, but he made 2 or 3 huge stops for, I think it's Spencer Olson, is that his name?
That sounds right.
Had 2 huge stops point blank on a kid from Centennial, I want to say was one of their best players, couldn't score. So they had a chance to cut it to 5-2, 5-3, and then they got an empty netter, and they traded goals in the third, but it was all but over. Yeah.
So we'll have a section final that we did not predict at all, the Tornadoes versus the Crimson.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's
going to be a lot of maroon in that
game. Yeah.
I see Maple Grove in this one.
They split their 2 regular season games. Both have some decent talent out there. I mean, I remember watching Maple Grove back in the first week of the season. They played Wyzetta in a very good game.
It was very fun to watch.
So there's talent there. Yeah.
It's kind of a blue-collar versus white-collar kind of game. You know, what's going to prevail?
Yeah.
You know,
I got Goodman standing on his head again.
I'm gonna go Maple Grove. It's hard to.
I'll be the one who takes Anoka then. Yeah,
Tim, I'll throw you out on a limb here. Now pick this random one for us.
Yeah, you get it right, please.
Yeah,
it'll be Maple Grove because they're not gonna give Anoka the 5-minute major. But I think it'll be a good game.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good point. I think if you go to this game, you'll have a fun game because both of these teams now have a chance. They're one game away, one goal away from going to state.
You know, this will be where there's lots of fans because, you know, the bandwagon will fill up real quick for both these teams. Where, you know, no offense, I don't take offense to this Eden Prairie, but they've been to the section semifinals and finals and the state tournament so many times. It's kind of like Edina. They don't show up until it's the state tournament.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's kind of sad to watch. Although Edina had a really good, Edina had a great crowd last night.
Edina fans always show up. I'll give them that.
What's that?
Edina's parents show up to games, but not the student sections. They had a great student section the last game on Saturday.
The students show up in the playoffs.
Yeah, but Eden Prairie is a good example of students never showing up.
It was brutal. I was like, there's like 3,000 kids at this high school, and there's like maybe 100 kids there. So yeah, we're just waiting for the state tournament.
Yeah, you know? It was similar in the section final last year.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same way. Yeah. Okay, let's go on to talk about Section 6, AA. This is where the fun happened, or at least the craziness happened.
Before you start, I want to say this from a media perspective. There was like zero media coverage on this game. Nobody covered it.
Nobody cared.
I mean, there was an 8-year-old girl from Wayzata tweeting, and that's who Follow the Puck was getting his feed from.
Yeah.
And she never published a final score. You must have got a text or something.
I got a message.
I saw the Hub posted it, and then Benilde's Twitter posted it, and then I went on, and so that's how I saw it.
I'm sorry, but it was I'm literally like, I found out from you before I could find out from Twitter. Yeah.
Because I texted both of you guys.
Yeah.
Here's how much Creighton even thought that they weren't going to win. I talked to a Creighton parent after the game, and he goes, before the game, we're the managers of the team. We're planning the end-of-the-year party.
Yeah.
We were planning it because, you know, we all thought we were going to lose. You know, he goes, here's the bar that we all, you know, knew that we were at. We thought we could be here, but we played up here in this game. Mm-hmm. And they win in overtime 4-3, beating Benilde St. Margaret, undefeated Benilde St. Margaret. And here's the thing, here's the trick that he told me in this game is how they beat him. Is he goes, Danny, we cheat when we break out the puck. We have a guy high every time.
Yeah, I saw it on last Saturday against Jefferson.
And they have a guy high every time. And so when that happens, and Benilde always pinches a D low.
It's going to create lots of opportunities.
It's going to create a lot of opportunities, and that's what happened in this game. And Ken Pauley was unable to switch his game around, and missing Cade Gleickel had to have had an effect in this game.
I didn't read the forum, but I saw a subject line about how Ken Pauley, you know, cost his team or something like that. That's what message boards are for, apparently, because that's blasphemy. I mean, Ken's done an unbelievable job this year putting together this team. So.
No, it's a very, very good team. But, I mean, this is a hats off to Creighton win.
Absolutely.
Because Creighton held with them. It's not a game that they were outshot by 20 shots like Grove was. So this is one of those games that the better team won, and the better team was Creighton.
Yeah. We will definitely mark this one down in the history, the lores.
Okay, two thoughts on Benilde, since we've talked about them so much this year. One was they had so many close games over the course of the year. At the time, we were saying, they're doing a great job of pulling out these wins, but there's a flip side to that, and that's you're a little vulnerable. And it caught up with them finally, caught up with them at the worst time, but it happened.
Yeah.
Number two, preseason rankings. I had Benilde not in the top 10.
I had him in the top 10.
Yeah, and most people did, and the reason I didn't have him in the top 10 wasn't talent. It was because I don't trust him in the playoffs.
Oh, I don't. I like that.
And the style of hockey they play,
running gun.
Just doesn't work against a team that's going to grind them out.
That's true. That's a good point.
I
saw him against Tim's team, Grand Rapids, up in Duluth this summer, and it was a 6-6 game. I was like, man, they can hang with Rapids, and we knew how much talent Rapids had coming back, and everybody was on the ice for both teams. I'm like, that was as good a hockey as you're going to see for July, and I'm thinking, that team, if Rapids is top 10, I just saw top 10, so that's why I put him in my top 10.
Well, Mike Leach never wins, national championships in football. It's the type of scenario.
Well, Ken did win a state championship in 2012.
Okay,
Grant Bessie will help, but
Okay, Tim, I'm going to throw this to you. What do you think about this game? What's your takeaways on Benilde?
Well, they were the best team in the state for a long stretch, but I think Carl hit it on the head. There were signs that it was coming.
Yeah,
and they. I remember watching an interview with Ken Pauley on Benilde's website in, probably early November. And I really don't think they expected 24 regular season wins. I mean, I think they probably just, yes, they were good, but I think they just overachieved all year.
Yeah.
And they were bound to stumble at some point. I didn't think it'd be in the semis, but it happened.
Well, I want to point this out. So, Tim, you beat the number one team in the state when you were in Hill Murray when you were a junior, your team, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So you've been on that side, and you've also lost the state tournament twice in second place. So you've been on both sides of this. I mean, how thrilling is it to win against the number one team in the state?
I think you have, when you get into playoffs, you don't have an advantage because you're not the number one team, but you have this slight mental advantage because you know all of the pressure is on the other team. Mm-hmm. And when we would have beat 2006, we beat Roseau.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In a game we weren't supposed to win. They crushed us the final game of the regular season. No pressure on us. We beat them. And it was, every piece of media you saw had Hill Murray winning the state championship. So there was just no pressure. And as the game went on, they were gripping their sticks tighter. I mean, everything was on them in the final minutes. And, when you can play loose and you have some talent, you can win those kind of games. And that's what happened here. That's what happens almost every time you see that kind of upset.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. I think I would be hard-pressed to believe that Benilde wasn't gripping their sticks in overtime and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Luke Horton, I heard, got every minute worth of that slashing call. It was just a blatant hack. And so, you take a penalty in overtime and you're the number one team in the state, you got to be nervous now.
Right.
And,
you're
probably, you expect to have a close game with, an Eden Prairie or a Blaine. So going to overtime with them, okay, that's maybe not so bad. But suddenly you're in overtime with Creighton. Yeah, that's probably a different feeling.
Yeah, that's a completely different feeling. It's just like, I think it's partly looking over and partly not recognizing that your competition is actually ready to play you, mm-hmm. too. Okay, let's talk about the other game in this section. This was Edina versus Wayzata, the fourth meeting of these two teams this year, which is quite surprising. But Edina loses for the fourth time to Wayzata.
That's amazing.
That's an amazing stat because Edina doesn't lose to a team four times in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Just not a program that does it.
Which is just a telltale sign of,
how not so Hornety this team was.
Very good, which makes my tweet that I tweeted, that's much more accurate. I hate when I'm right, but yeah. I was right.
He's right this time.
Humble.
I'm very right. No, I know, but seriously, there was a true statement.
No, this was a 5-3 win. Edina was up in the first, and then Wayzata never looked back. And it was just... It was Wayzata's. It was Wayzata's to lose. They had the better goaltending, better scoring opportunities. Everything was going their way.
I agree.
And I don't really want to dive into too much deeper into this one because I don't think it needs to be.
I think one of the things that I noticed was Edina didn't play all their players.
Yeah,
they're rolling like 3D. I'm like, they got. Yeah. Five or six really good
defensemen. They were doing that in the Wayzata game.
Yeah.
Okay. Season two. Yeah.
Why don't I see your third line out here? You're playing against Wayzata, who's playing three lines.
That's because Ryan Moon's on their third line. Third line is not as good as it could be.
This is Edina, Danny.
I'm just throwing out
500 kids in their youth organization. Yeah. They should have three lines. And I'm not. Let's stop. Okay. Kiefer Bellis is not coming back. Ryan Zulzer is not coming back. Okay.
Yeah.
Stop whining about that and play your kids. They have three or four deep group of skaters. You got to figure out. I'm not trying to rip Kurt too much here, but they got to figure out a way to use their talent.
And that's a criticism you can make of Edina a few times over the years now.
Well, Kiefer was in the stands, if you're wondering. He was a couple seats away from me, so he was close.
He's not coming back.
He's not coming back.
Not coming back.
He looked big though.
Oh yeah,
he looked real big.
He's the man.
Anyways, now let's go on to Section 7 talk. I'm going to let some other guys
this ought to be good.
Take control of this one. Tim, Carl, this
I'm gonna
is your
to take
show.
I'm going to have to be the mediator here.
Okay, yeah. So
try not to fight too much.
Let's talk about the first game of the day. Duluth East wins handily against Elk River, 6-3, and 6-3. Was not 6-3.
You know what's funny is the day, because that was early in the day, I was like, as we're tweeting and working on that Holy Family game, like, oh, because that wasn't going to be a surprise either way. Holy Family is going to go either way.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, we got our first surprise of the day. And when we look back in the day, like,
that's not
East
really a surprise.
Beating Elk River is not even a surprise at this point.
Yep. No.
But I picked Elk River.
I picked Elk River.
You know what I mean? Your brain just says, after what you saw East do, it's like, no way.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. You guys take this one away.
you know, this was the sort of game where one team comes into it, you know, just confident, knowing they can win. The other one just doesn't. And it's hard to, you know, say spin it any other way because, you know, East comes out, scores 37 seconds in. Ryan Peterson buries one off a face-off.
Wasn't he supposed to be hurt?
Yep.
Okay.
He was fine.
Yeah, the old fictional injury.
Yeah, actually.
Careful of that one, Tim.
He was hurt the first time, then went back for a second opinion. They found it was actually something really old that had been, you know, he'd been playing with for years. So it,
just play through
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah. Couldn't make it worse. And then, then East buried a second one a few minutes later. Then Ash Altman with this great diving goal for the third one. Then the fourth goal came 5 seconds after the third one.
Jeez.
Wow.
Shots and goal at that point were 14 to nothing. And it was just, you know, total domination.
And then it's over.
And then East just went into cruise control after that. And Elk River finally got a couple at the end, one of which was about 10 feet offsides in the play. And put it up on the video board, Namsoil, and everyone's
moving it. Yeah. And the best goaltender that I said in this section just got lit.
Yeah, got pulled in the second period. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they probably didn't pull him because of performance. They just needed a change of pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah, so that was a shock. I was shocked that East came out and performed that well, and Elk River was also that poor.
I think
it was a combination of both teams.
I think we're all in shock in this one, just for Northern Hockey standpoint. Tim, what's your takeaway on this one?
Well, I'm going to get something off my chest real quick. It was a frustrating Twitter day. You know, it's like when you get to this point in the season, either the team that you cheer for is the greatest thing on the earth, or you got screwed by the refs, by the schedule, by the venue. You know, Elk River played in this same game, the noon time slot last year, and they won their section semifinal 9-1.
Yeah.
Against a team from 20 miles away, yeah.
Right. So it's not the venue. It's not the location. If you want to do something different next year and come on Friday, I assume they came on Saturday, I don't know, do that. But East was just the better team, and a goal 37 seconds in can change the complexion of the game, but it just seemed, for whatever reason, like Elk River wasn't ready to go. And if you're not ready to go in the first 17 in a playoff game, you're probably not going to win.
Right.
And that's the way it played out.
Well, and the other thing is, too, if you're not ready to play Mike Randolph, you're not ready to play. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, you better be extra ready.
Yeah, we saw a little 2-3 in this game, too, from the third line, when the East third line's on the ice. Yep.
Now,
so that's the strategy, then. Play regular hockey for the first two lines,
had Peterson been out, they would have had 2-3 for the second line, too.
Yeah.
That's a headache.
Hard to watch. Yep. So hard to watch.
Now, did Gordy coach this game?
Yeah, he was there.
Okay, and then he swung back for the alumni game. So that was one of the things that we were talking at work, at least. Like, is Gordy going to show up to this game? Because he was playing the alumni game.
Yeah, I think the high school game is a little more important.
That's what I was saying.
A free skate out at TCF Bank. I mean, see some of the highlights of that? Wow, it was hard to watch.
Okay, Tim, take away the Rapids game. That was a 5-1 victory for Rapids over Cloquet.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. There's too many people on the old message board that believed in Cloquet, but this was 2011 again. You just have, and it maybe took the whole season to clean it up, but Rapids and East are just the best two in this section, and it's not all that close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cloquet really, I mean, listening to Coach Essie from the minute that Cloquet beat Duluth Marshall to the pregame radio interviews before the Rapids game, I mean, he knew their only hope was clog the middle, block a million shots, score a couple fluke goals, and win, and it just didn't happen. I mean, it was it got interesting when Cloquet made it 2-1 2 minutes left in the first period. And then Gavin Hayne blocked a shot, went the other way on a breakaway, scored, and, you know, life came out of Cloquet, and that was kind of it. So I think every non-Cloquet Elk River Duluth Marshall fan in this section is happy because we have the right matchup for the final.
Well, for sure. This is the right one.
You forgot to mention Forest Lake.
poor Rangers.
The trap game. Tim, you guys didn't have to play the trap game this year. That's what made the difference.
Right, yeah. We avoided Forest Lake, finally.
But, okay, I think this is the best final now in the state. I
mean, I'm considering attending.
Oh. And so, Let's preview this. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Carl. Duluth East, what do they need to do to win this game?
I think you saw a preview of the game plan in their first game against Rapids. They're going to try to hold the score down in the first two periods, keep it close, clock things up, then just turn it on in the end. You know, tight game late at Amsoil, Duluth East. do the thing.
Tim, what does Grand Rapids need to do?
They just need to do what they've done the last 13 games. It's kind of, when you look over the last, well, I guess, five section finals between these two teams, East has been the steady-as-she-goes team all year, and Rapids has been the inconsistent one. Mm-hmm. And this is the reverse. I mean, the last 13 games for Grand Rapids have been exactly the way you want to be playing and playing at the right time. So the puck possession, and I don't think they'll outshoot East by 20. I think they've done that the last six or seven games, outshot the opponents by that much. But they get to four and they'll win. So get to four is the game plan.
Carl, what's the wild card in this game that sways it in East's favor?
In East's favor, it's the man behind the bench. That's all you can say. It's Mike Randolph.
Tim, what about Grand Rapids? What's the thing that nobody's talking about that swings it in their favor?
I think for the first time in a long time, this group of kids isn't afraid of Duluth East. And I don't mean that to say in 2007 when we had them in the semis, we were, you know, worried or on pins and needles. But there is that little bit of mental thing when you get late into the game and you're like, okay, we've been here how many times and we haven't got the job done. But this team, historically, from Pee-wees up, has beat Duluth East. They've done it the last two regular seasons. They're tired of hearing about how all the previous teams couldn't beat Duluth East. So I think it's that shift in mental edge from where it's been the last five section final meetings or whatever it's been.
Now, Tim, if Rapids makes it to state, are we going to see the throwback jerseys?
No, they won't change anything. So they'll have we might see that black one from.
Ooh, I like that black one.
From that Holy Family game, but we'll stick with the 2016 mock-ups.
The 2006-2007 ones, they hold a special place, I think. Those are fun.
Yeah, those are incredible jerseys. And actually, we got some flack on Facebook. So the real short backstory is when I was a junior, Tony Clafton was the captain of our team, and I've played a lot of sports. I've coached a lot of sports. He's the best captain I've ever had or played with. He's a great leader. And it was his thing. He wanted to do this. He met with us as a team and said, this is what we want to do. You know, it would have been the summer before the 2005-2006 season, and we all loved it. You know, it's what we wanted to do as a team. And, man, we rode those to some pretty good times in the 2005-2007, those two seasons.
Well, they're sick jerseys.
I mean, is this the throwback from the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep.
The one
Halloween
that,
machine
The
jerseys.
One that I have.
Yep.
Yep. Pats. Yeah.
So what was the flack?
Well, somebody on Twitter was saying, oh, are they going to wear those ugly jerseys again? No.
Ugly?
They're sick.
Well, those are incredible. Wow. Yeah. How could you ever call that ugly?
We even had somebody say that it was disrespectful to those teams. But I was on the team, so that was easy to counteract and say, no, I mean, this is what we wanted to do.
Yeah. Those jerseys are the coolest.
Is it disrespectful to those 06 teams or the 70s teams?
Those six, because I don't think they realize we wore those every game all year for 2 years.
And JV
actually,
they
wore
them
for two more. Yeah, now the JV wears them. Yep. So that's just what we did.
And they're absolutely awesome. Like they're throwback, and they make like Rapids seem more old school, like bigger and stuff like that. It's just really cool when you saw Stay School hit with a jersey like that. Yeah, you knew that was a hard hit.
Well, it's interesting. Their Bantam team, when they won state 2 years ago, had that exact replica jersey.
It's a badass jersey. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, let's move on to Section 8AA. Tim, maybe you can help us out with a little bit of this because you live up in Fargo area. But Moorhead plays Bemidji.
Have they named the location? Is it Thief River?
Thief River.
Thief, okay. Yep.
Thief River, yep.
On Wednesday. Tim, you saw Moorhead this season, right?
Yep, saw them a couple times. I think I've seen Bemidji twice, too.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's two more times than any of us, right?
So
they haven't played in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They refuse to go to the 694-494 loop.
They can't get to the loop.
So, Tim, give us and our listeners maybe a little bit of a background on these two teams, if you can.
Sure, we'll start with Bemidji since they're the one seed. They've earned it. Yeah, they haven't played a tough schedule, but they've beaten most of the teams, and they have a few nice wins.
Yeah.
They took care of St. Michael Albertville 4-0. Bemidji's a defense-first team. Well, they have been for years, but that's how they've been successful the last couple of years. And they're playing well right now. And they've actually, I don't have all their games in front of me here, but late in the season, they put up some nice numbers, 6, 7, 4 in this semifinal. So they're scoring a little bit too. Obviously, they'll be the favorites on, is that a Wednesday night final?
Yeah.
Wednesday night final.
Yeah, Wednesday at Thief.
Morehead's a goofy team, man. They got a good coach. I think I saw something. They've only had 6 coaches in school history, and they've been around for a long time. So
yeah,
Ammerman does a good job with this group, but they are wild. They I texted out this stat earlier today.
Yeah.
They've been shorthanded 12 times in the playoffs, and no other AA team has been shorthanded more than 8 times.
That's so going to cost them.
If they do that against Bemidji, I mean, that's why Rogers stayed in the game. They beat Rogers 4-2, but I'm pretty sure both Rogers' goals were on the power play. Mm. I mean, they take 3-4 penalties against Bemidji, and Bemidji will take care of the game. But they did split in the regular season, and it seems like it's been these two teams in the finals the last 5-6 years. So it'll be a close game, but I think Bemidji will take care of it.
Yeah, both Rogers' goals were on the power play. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Bemidji should take care of this pretty easily, and I'd be very excited to see them in state because they can make some damage now, possibly.
They can, they still need another upset, I think, to get a seed.
Yeah.
Because that strength of schedule is going to come into play, and they just don't. They have some quality wins, but they have so many wins against nobody that it'll be tough. But one more upset, and they'll probably be a 4 or 5.
And the losses are a little questionable, too, unlike Stillwater.
They do have. Yep, they do have some.
Yeah, because Stillwater's strength of schedule is poor, but their losses aren't.
Was the Holy Family who they came back and beat.
It's not the end of the world. I think let's cross our fingers that we don't see as many upsets.
I want them upsets. I love them.
Well, save the upsets for the tourney.
Oh, that too. That'd be good. That'd be great.
Just so I can at least see, you know, some teams like Grand Rapids.
Well, I think we're a winner. I think no matter what, we're going to be a winner. Out of any of these finals, we're going to have a winner. I mean, think about it. We could get SPA. We could get Grand Rapids. We can get
Litchfield.
I mean, we can get we get Princeton.
Yeah.
Anoka.
We get mammal.
We get some mammals in the tournament.
Moose are mammals. Yep.
I will buy animal cookies.
You know, we could get Farmington. I mean, just think about it. There's a lot of possibilities. I know that. A lot of the old guard, I call it the fraternity. They, you know, all we want is Edina and, you know, Hill Murray and, you know, St. Thomas. I mean, we feel more comfortable. It's like a safe little sweater. You know, it's like, come on, let's expand our horizons here. Let's get Farmington in this thing. That'd be fun to see.
Yeah, I think that'd be exciting. You know,
I'm all about the new sweater. It'd be great to see St. Paul Academy. How cool would that be to see them in the state tournament?
I mean, there's a lot of intrigue with that. I think you tweeted out a tweet like, if everything fell.
And I worked on that before I tweeted out. I'm like, hey, let's put together. I go, hey, let's put together. What are the seeds? What would the seeds be? And I printed it today too. Is what would the seeds be in a hypothetical state tournament? And we went one was Stillwater, 2 was Lakeville North.
Yeah,
and you kind of wrote about this today, right?
Yeah.
And then it gets really goofy.
Yeah.
Tim, jump in here because you're the number one seed. I think I had Rapids at 4, and.
Ahead of
EP at 5.
Okay. What was 3
And then
again?
3 would have been...
Wyzetta.
Wyzetta.
So those 3, 4, 5 is literally get your spitball thing out, pull names out of that. Because 3, 4, 5, it has to be those three. But where would it be with those three?
But here's the thing. If Grand Rapids played Eden Prairie as the nightcap, that would be
It would
awesome.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be cool.
But the reason I had Wyzetta ahead of Grand Rapids because they beat them.
Right. Yeah.
So I had Wyzetta there, and then 4, 5.
Too, but
Yeah,
I suppose. But again, I think that Rapids has had a stronger season than
also,
EP has.
I don't agree with this, but Let's Play Hockey's been riding EP all season long, so I could easily see them being 2.
There was one of the best tweets ever. But, there was a great tweet this weekend. It was like, Let's Play Hockey. Do they even go to the games?
Nope.
That was the guy tweeted that out. I was like, it's about time.
The rankings for the state tournament are chosen by the coaches in the tournament.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not by Let's Play Hockey.
No.
So let's get that straight for everybody listening.
No, if we were using Let's Play Hockey, Benilde would be one of the top-rated teams. they lost. What? You know, that would be what it would say. Sorry, that was a shot.
Okay.
I need an apology for next week for that.
Okay.
Sorry, Don.
Okay. Okay. Anybody have anything else to add to this one? Tim, anything closing seconds, jabs at Carl before we go?
I'll just jump in on the seeding thing quick. I think if everybody wins, Lakeville North will be one.
Ooh.
Because it is the coaches' vote, and I think Lakeville North is the best team.
Yeah,
left.
We all agree.
And defending champs. So.
Yeah.
And I also think, and this is, I have some hometown bias on this, I think Rapids winning would be a three if everything holds serve, because they will, you know, when it's the coaches' vote, I really don't think head-to-head matters so much.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
If I'm Stillwater voting, I don't really care who won the Grand Rapids Wayzata game. I don't think. I mean, I'm just trying to look at it from that angle.
Yeah.
But here's what I'll say. There's one more huge upset out there, and it'll happen in Section 4 or Section 6. So that'll shake everything up still.
Yeah, I think 4 could possibly – Hill and Stillwater.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
That's why they play the game.
I think it's lurking in Section 3, to be honest with you. But that's,
yeah.
Burnsville.
Yeah, yeah, I think Burnsville.
But that won't affect Rapids.
No.
No, it won't affect –
that section's not getting seeded.
No. A lot of stuff needs to happen for St. Thomas to get a ranking in the tournament.
Yeah.
But, anyways, I think this is going to be a fun week. I think we have a good set of games, good slate of games coming up. Good luck to all the teams, and thanks for listening.
Hey guys, this is Tom Schreier, co-founder of ColdOmaha.com. Thank you for listening to the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave us a comment and a rating. Also, don't forget to check out ColdOmaha.com to see all of our podcasts and read articles about your favorite teams in the Twin Cities. If you have any suggestions or comments on anything related to Cold Omaha, email us at editors@ColdOmaha.com or follow us on Twitter @ColdOmahaMN.